And also, last time I was here, Brother Jonathan, you know, he said, look, big man to big man, I got a blazer you can borrow. I was like, hey, man, you know. I like it when a big man makes another big man feel comfortable at the church, you know. And so God bless him, all right. And so the title of the sermon today is Seeing Him for Who He Is. Seeing Him for Who He Is. And so Isaiah 6, and my wife, she would usually be here, but she's at our home church because the pastor's gone there too, and his wife usually teaches the Master Club's little girls, so my wife is doing that. And so good to see my cousin here, good to see my mother-in-law here, and so it's a blessing to be here tonight. And so I titled this sermon, Seeing Him for Who He Is, because I believe it's very important to see the Lord Jesus Christ for who He is. Because that's a big part of the Christian life, isn't it? Just seeing the Lord Jesus Christ for who He is. It's a big thing. So the Lord put the title for this sermon on my heart. And so if you're there, you can go ahead and say amen. Right? And so I'll go ahead and read the scripture. All right. The Bible says in Isaiah 6 and verse 1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I also saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face. And with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphim unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hand toucheth thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I just pray that you'll help me tonight, Lord. I just pray that you would be exalted tonight. Your Son would be exalted tonight, Father. And Lord, let us please realize through my weak frame that you are holy, holy, holy. And Lord, that we are nothing but dust. And Lord, we just need your help tonight. Lord, please let our hearts be fertile for the word to be planted, Lord. I ask you to cleanse us of sin, Lord. I ask you, Lord, to be with the pastor as he travels, Lord. I ask you to be with every single person at this church, Lord, that they would hear and understand the word, and that it would speak to them in a special way today, Lord, that only you could do. And we say this in the name of your precious Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, so Uzziah, all right, that we read about here, he was a very popular king, all right? You can read about him in 2 Chronicles 26, all right? And you can read how his fame made it all the way to Egypt, all right? And King Uzziah was only about 16 years old when he was king. Well, he was 16 years old when he became king. Now, who's 16 in here? Would you like to become a king? No, okay. That's a lot of responsibility, right, on somebody 16 years old. All right, and he reigned for 52 years. 52 years, all right? And Israel was doing well, real prosperous, really prosperous. They were advancing militarily. They were advancing financially. And everything was going good. But a lot of times, what happens with us is when things are going good and we're doing good, what happens? It's like my grandma used to say, we get a little big for our britches, right? And so we all know that the position of the priest is only for who? The tribe of Levi, right? Only for the sons of Aaron, right? Well, King Uzziah thought that he would step in and take the place of the priest's position. And as soon as he did, the leprosy started busting out on his face. And he spent the last 7 years of his reign in exile. And so started off real strong, but didn't end up so good. And doesn't that happen to us, right? Because we start off good, we get successful at something, and then we get in our own way. We start thinking we're bigger than who we are. And we need to be depending on the Lord. All right? And so the first verse says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting on the throne high and lifted up. All right? And so what we see here, that's a big contrast, isn't it? All right? Because when we look at that verse, what we see is that here the earthly king has died. All right? But then the Lord is sitting on the throne. We get pretty comfortable with our rulers, don't we? You know, here we don't really have a monarchy. All right? But we get really careful, we get really dependent, shall we say, on who's the president, who's the governor. And we have, and we have a dark light, no doubt, that's on this country, right? And so definitely a dark light, but it doesn't matter who our ruler is. It doesn't matter what kind of wickedness they do. The Lord is on the throne. The Lord is on the throne, high and lifted up. We get really obsessed with news and the current events and everything like that. But whatever happens, the Lord is on the throne, high and lifted up. Somebody's sick tonight. Somebody's got a family member that's sick tonight. But guess what? The Lord is on the throne, high and lifted up. Amen. Somebody's loved one is in the hospital tonight, maybe. There's all kinds of things. Maybe somebody's child is on drugs. It's a tough world, isn't it? But the Lord is on the throne, high and lifted up. And if we can just see the Lord, and that's why I call this sermon Seeing Him for Who He Is. And so how we see the Lord Jesus Christ is what can get us through trials in life. It doesn't matter what's going on here. It doesn't matter what kind of trials I'm going through, of course. If the Lord Jesus Christ is on the throne, high and lifted up, and if we see Him for who He is, you know, a lot of times I think, you know, if you're not saved, you want to see Him for who He is, right? You want to know Him. But if you're saved, you want to grow in knowing Him better and closer and growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I really do believe that how you get to know Him better is by seeing Him for who He is. He's sovereign. He's on the throne. He's high and lifted up. All right. And so I just wanted to go over with you there Israel's condition. All right, and so I've got three reactions, we'll say, from Isaiah and the seraphim in this passage of Scripture, all right? Three reactions. One, I want you to see the recognition. The recognition for the Lord from Isaiah and the seraphim, all right? Two, I want you to see the reconciliation. How Isaiah is reconciled to the Lord. Three, I want you to see the response. All right, the response that Isaiah has to the Lord. All right, so now that I've set the scene for you, all right, let's begin with the first reaction, okay, from Isaiah. And there again, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting on the throne, high and lifted up. Now, first thing I want to establish here is that I do believe that this is a Christophany. I believe that this is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. All right? And we see the word rendered Lord here, all right, is Adonai. All right? And so, and then we see the Lord used in all caps represents the covenant name of Israel for God, Jehovah. All right? And so Adonai is a title of God. And in the Greek, that would, if you translated Adonai to the Greek, it would be Kyrios. Kyrios, meaning master. And so in the New Testament, that's where we call him Lord. And so when we're saying that Jesus is Lord, we're not just saying that he's master. We're saying that he is God. All right? And so another reason I want you to see that this is a Christophany tonight, if you go to John 12 and verse 41. John 12 and verse 41. This is the Gospel of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. All right? And so I just want you to see what the Apostle John says here about Isaiah. Now, this is the context here is he's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, all right? And so John 12 and verse 41. Now, if you're there, you can scream amen to the top of your lungs. Amen! Amen. All right. And so we see there that the Bible says, these things said Isaiah when he saw his glory, speaking of this our passage of Scripture, when he saw his glory and spake of him. All right, so Apostle John is speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ here, and we see that Isaiah saw his glory. Isaiah saw a vision of the Lord. There's no way that he could see the actual essence of God because he would fry up. He would burn up. There's a reason why the Bible says that only flesh and blood shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, because we cannot enter in our physical bodies. To see the Lord in his essence would burn us alive, I believe, right on the spot. So this is a vision of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. And this has been done before, right? Have we seen these pre-incarnate manifestations of Christ in the Old Testament before? All right, I want to bring up one, the captain of the host of the Lord's army. All right? And so we see Joshua there. He's on his way to the promised land, and he sees the commander of the host of the Lord's army. And probably, no doubt, scary looking, I would imagine. All right? And he's so intimidating. You know, Joshua's like, well, whose side are you on? And he's like, neither. Nay, I believe he said. And it's like, what does that mean? I believe what it means here is that it doesn't, what he's saying is, I'm not on anybody's side. What I want is you to be on my side. That's what really matters. It's not whose side I am. Are you on my side? All right, but the key point I want to make from this is that Joshua worships him. All right? Joshua worships him. That's very key. Very key. All right? And so I want you to see that, that he worships him. And then also in verse 15, Joshua 5:15, you don't have to go there. I'll read it to you. The Bible says in the second part of Joshua 5:15, loose thy shoe from thy foot, for the place where thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. All right? And so we see this also, what? In the burning bush with Moses. Right? The angel of the Lord said, Moses, take your shoes off because you're on holy ground. Now, that's not because Moses was really holy, is it? No, that's because the Lord is holy. The Lord is holy. All right. And so we see these manifestations of Christ in the Old Testament. All right. Surely with the angel of the Lord and the captain of the host of the Lord army. And then we see in the fire with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Right? In the fire. We all know that story, don't we? Or account. All right? And so King Nebuchadnezzar said, what? I see a fourth in the fire. Looks like the Son of God. All right? And so, and also, I want you to see our first verse here, the Bible says the train filled the temple. So if you want to turn back to if you're at John, just go ahead and turn back to Isaiah. Hopefully, I didn't tell you to put a mark there, but hopefully you did. Sorry for that if you didn't, but I don't know. I can't blame it on anybody else. So, but yeah, go ahead and turn back to Isaiah, back to our scripture. And so we see that the train filled the temple. Now, this is kind of like, you know, the latest person to get coronated was what? King Charles, right? And so King Charles's train was being carried by what looked like, I guess, two boys or whatever. And they're carrying his train and walking him down, you know. And that's the idea here, this robe of the Lord Jesus Christ, all right? And that this train of his was so big that it took up the whole temple. He rules. It's his house. Right now, we're in his house. And his train is so big, there's no room for anybody else. And there's nothing to do but fall on our face and worship him. All right. And another thing, now, if you've ever said this, I don't have a problem with it, okay? I really don't, so don't think that I'm attacking you, okay? But I have a little pet peeve sometimes, I'll admit, with phrases, all right? Like some preachers do, okay? Well, you ever heard this phrase, I made Jesus Lord of my life. Well, let me tell you something. Nobody makes Jesus Lord of their life. He is the Lord of their life, and they recognize that he is. That he is. We can't make him do anything, but we can, and that's the first point here, the recognition. We recognize that he is Lord. If you're saved today, he is Lord of your life. And really, if you're not saved, he's Lord of your life too. You just don't. He's Lord of everything. Now, if you know him personally, he's your personal Lord and Savior. But let me tell you, if you don't know him, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that what? Jesus Christ is Lord. So bow now, and it'll be a lot easier. And you won't have to deal with the judgment to come. All right? And so, Jesus is Lord. He is. He just is. He's high and lifted up. All right. And so in verse 2, in your passage, just look down your Bible to verse 2. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. Twain, did he cover his face? Twain, he covered his feet. Twain, he did fly. And he cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And so we see that seraphim literally translates here burning ones. All right? And these are very powerful heavenly creatures here. And you can imagine the scene here that Isaiah is looking at, this vision, where you see these seraphim, flames and wings. And twain, did they cover their face? And it's almost like they're saying, they're covering their face in reverence. They're saying, as mighty as a being as I am. I mean, I wouldn't want to mess with a seraphim, would y'all? I wouldn't want to. I'd be really scared, I'm sure. All right? But as mighty as that being is, the reverence that that being shows for the Lord Jesus Christ, because as mighty as the seraphim are, they were created by him. The Lord Jesus Christ created everything you see. Everything. And so, as mighty as these beings are, they're created. And the Lord is over his creation. And so they put their hands over their eyes and they say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." And so, holy means separated. We could say just separated from the creation. Because he is separated from us. He's separated from sin. We have sin. He is separated from us. So he is separated from his creation. He's separated from sin. The word separate has the idea to cut. So they recognize. And that's what this point is the recognition of the Lord. All right? Made me think of John the Baptist, all right? Because he came into the world one purpose, right? Was to introduce the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was basically saying, in a sense, the same thing as these seraphim were saying, "Don't look at me. Look at him." He says, "He must increase, and I must decrease." And so, and then we see the word holy, holy, holy. All right? Holy, holy, holy. And so that's kind of what the Hebrews would do is they would, the more repetition you said a word, the more times you said it, the more important it was. All right? And so it would kind of be like, now you'll have to excuse me because I think about food a lot. And I do apologize for that. But no, actually, I don't. I don't apologize for that. I think about food a lot. And so it would be like if we were going to Texas Roadhouse. We like to go there. Anybody like Texas? Yeah, I heard some amens. Good old Baptist, you're always going to hear, "Amen." That's right. And so we like to go to Texas Roadhouse, and somebody will be like, "Oh, well, Texas Roadhouse is good." Yeah, it's good. And somebody else come along and say, "You know what? Texas Roadhouse is good, good." Oh, okay. Wow. And then somebody else comes along and says, "You know what? I love Texas Roadhouse. I think it's good, good, good. Whoa." All right? And so that's kind of what's happening here with the Lord. What the Hebrews would say, holy, holy, holy. The repetition of this. It's a superlative. It's like saying holy, holier, and holiest. He's all of this. And so he's just in his own class. There's no one like him. There's none like him. His aseity, his self-creating. He just is. He didn't even create himself. He just is. He always was. It blows my mind to think about that. Never created, just was. Always was. And so, holy, holy, holy. All right? And so, we see here in, look down your Bible. Look to verse 4 there. Scripture there. Look at verse 4. And the Bible says, and the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. So the temple's big, right? And just with the voice of him, it shook the whole temple. You could imagine this, you know, right now. Just imagine the Lord speaks and everything just starts shaking because of the sound of his voice. And so we see here the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. And so when we look back at 2 Chronicles 5:15, 5:14, I'm sorry, you don't have to go there, I'll read it to you. The Bible says, so that the priest could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, right? For the glory of the Lord, and we're talking about the glory here, the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. Aren't you glad tonight that if you're saved, your body is a temple that enhouses the Holy Spirit of God? Are you happy tonight that if you're saved, that Christ is in you and you are in him? That's something to rejoice in. Amen. And I just want to there emphasize, seeing the Lord for who he is will help you through the trials. And it also helps you grow. It helps you grow. The true, I believe, the true way to grow in the Christian life is to know who the Lord is to know God and see him and grow in that knowledge of who the Lord is. And so you see him high and lifted up, sitting on the throne. All right, so that's the first point. Now, we talked about the recognition of Isaiah, and the seraphim to our Lord. Now let's talk about the reconciliation, all right? And I want you to see here this cycle of being reconciled to God, all right? So I want you to look at your Bibles, look at verse 5, and the Bible says, then said I, woe is me, for I am undone. He's undone. All right, so I want you to see the conviction here. The conviction. He's undone. I love that. I am undone. And the word woe, I'm cursed. It's not like, you know, somebody from California be like, whoa, you know, yeah, no, it's not like that. Woe actually means I'm cursed. I'm damned. And so woe is me, for I am undone. I'm undone. I'm through with myself, and God wants to use people that are undone. They're done with their self, and they're ready for Christ to take over. They're ready to recognize him for who he is. All right, and so I wanted you to see the conviction there in verse 5. Then I want you to see the confession in verse 5 as well, all right? And we'll see this confession here from Isaiah. He says, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people with unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. So when you come in presence with the Lord Jesus Christ, first comes conviction, because that's what happens. There's something wrong with us. We don't like to hear that, but there's something wrong with us. Everything's right with Him. We need to get right before Him. I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. And not only is he convicted of himself, but he's convicted of his people, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. For us that know the Lord and need to get right with Him, I encourage you to do that tonight. I really do. I encourage you to do that. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I encourage you to do that. There's something between you and God, something holding you back from being where you want to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. I encourage you to not leave tonight, or when you go home, settle it with God. Settle that with God. And so, and if you're not saved tonight, see the Lord for who He is. Believe in your heart that God did raise Him from the dead. And confess with your mouth, what? That Jesus is Lord. Lord, Master, God of the universe. And you've committed cosmic treason against Him. Your sin is separating you from Him. All right? And so I wanted you to see the conviction. I wanted you to see the confession. Now I want you to see the cleansing. The cleansing, all right? In verse 7, the Bible says, and He laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this has touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. All right, and so why do we need to be reconciled, right? Isaiah 59:2, the Bible says, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear. Habakkuk 1:13, the Bible says, thou art purer of eyes than to behold Him, and canst not look on iniquity. This means that He cannot look on you with any sort of pleasure because of your iniquity. He has no pleasure in the wicked. And everybody's wicked, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23, Romans 3:10, as it is written, there are none righteous. Not one. Not one. And so we need to be reconciled. All right? Romans 1 and verse 18, the Bible says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and righteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. We see a picture of our status before God in the book of Ephesians chapter 2. We see before we were dead in trespasses and sins, walking to the course of this world, lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh. By nature, children of wrath. But God, even as we were dead in sins, has made us alive together. All right? And that's what we need. We need to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we already know Him, we don't need to trust Him for salvation, but we just need to trust Him in life, period. And come to Him and confess our sins. Get right with God if you're out of fellowship with God. All right? And so reconciliation, you know, I think of it like this. Now, here we go with food again, all right? Me and you have a problem, all right? If you come up to me with a bunch of Krispy Kreme donuts, 12 dozen of them, I'm going to say, maybe I don't have a problem with this person anymore, right? They've made a propitiation to me. And so I don't have an issue with them anymore. You've given me these, the hot and now sign was on, and now you're giving me these hot and readies, you know? And we're good, you know. Well, but that's what you need with God. You need a propitiation. You need the Lord Jesus Christ because he is the propitiation. He is the mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, the God-man. He is the one that reconciles you to God. And so we need that reconciliation. And if you're out of fellowship with God, there again, 1 John 1:9. All right? And so I would just want to see God for who he is tonight. I'm moving on with the time. So we talked about the recognition, the reconciliation. Now let's look at the response. Let's look at the response, okay? We'll see in Isaiah 6 and verse 8. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send and whom will go for us?" Now that's a reference right there to the Trinity, right? All right, one God, three persons. All right, who will go for us? Who will go for us? All right, and so we see, "Then said I, here am I, send me." All right, so who's going to go? And I don't know if Isaiah is sitting here because he's been humbled by God, right? To be in the presence of God is to be humbled by God. So I don't know if Isaiah here is just like, "Oh yeah, here I am, send me, right here, yeah." You know, I don't know if he's like that. I think he's probably like, "Lord, send me, but look me over. Make sure there's nothing wrong with me. Make sure I'm fit for the job." I don't think it's just such as something that he's doing willy-nilly, if you will. And so we see that response. He says, "Then said I, here am I, send me." So I want you to see that once we've been reconciled with God, then we can be sent. Then we can be sent. All right? And so I want you to see that you know, we have to know our sin, realize our sin. And of course, then we also need for salvation to realize the punishment for our sin. The place called hell, everlasting fire. Revelation 20, verse 14 and 15. The Bible says, if you're not written in the Lamb's book of life, you will be thrown into the lake of fire. The book of life. And so we need to know that. We need to know we can't save ourselves. We just talked about Ephesians 2. For by grace you are saved through faith. It is a gift of God, not of yourselves, lest any man should boast. And then we need to realize that we need to trust in the gospel of Jesus Christ. That he lived a perfect life, life we couldn't live. Took our place on the cross, took God's wrath for us. Died on the cross, or rose from the dead the third day, defeated sin, death, and the grave. And because he defeated that, so will you if you put your trust and faith in him. He has victory over the grave. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Victory over death in the grave. All right, so we see that when you've been reconciled with God, so now your iniquities are no longer held against you. God sees you as righteous because of Jesus Christ, not because of yourself, because you have no righteousness. But when you trust in Christ, Christ's righteousness and his precious blood covers you. So you look like you have not sinned, even though you have and continue to. And then your sin was transferred to Christ, even though he didn't have any. It's a great exchange. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Best verses in the Bible. All right, and so we see the Great Commission here. We say, "Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost." All right, and go ye into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, this doesn't mean some people aren't called to preach. All right, some people, because you got to be qualified to preach. Some people are not called to be a missionary. Some people aren't called to do certain things. But everybody's called to go tell about the Lord Jesus Christ. This could mean, hey, Lord, here am I, send me. You got a family member you never told about the gospel. They've never heard God's gospel. Maybe it's time that the Lord is using you to tell them, even this Christmas season. Maybe it's a coworker. Maybe the Lord's using you or commissioning you to go tell your coworker. I was recently in D.C. and passing out tracts and talking to the Metropolitan Police in front of the nation's capital, and I left, and a day later, the National Guardsman got shot. And so I didn't talk to any National Guardsmen, but I'm just saying, I thought about those Metropolitan Police. What if that was their last day? They heard, you know, what if that was their last day? It's time to have a sense of urgency about these things. Behold, now is the time. Now's the appointed time. And so, so I just want you to see all these points we discussed, all right? I want you to see that we want to recognize Christ for who he is, that he is immutable. He never changes. He's always on the throne. All right? And we need to see him always, that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he is the king of the whole universe. Everything that was created by him. And we need to come with him in reverence and awe, just like the seraphim and Isaiah in this passage, all right? And I wanted you to see the reconciliation, all right? I wanted you to see that if you're not saved, you can be made right with God by trusting in his Son, trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting in him to take your place. He took your place on the cross at Calvary, and then he rose again the third day. And then if you are saved, then you, and you're out of fellowship with God, you can come to the throne room of grace any time. Because when Christ died, the veil is split from top to bottom. And we are priests that can enter into the Holy of Holies at any time and talk to the Lord Jesus Christ. What a privilege. What a privilege. And then the response, maybe tonight you've been putting something off that the Lord wants you to do. Maybe there's somebody you need to witness to. Maybe somebody's called to preach. Maybe somebody's called to sweep the floors. I don't know. Maybe somebody's called to be in the choir. Maybe somebody's called to help someone in some way, just step out on faith or whatever the case may be. Let tonight be the night. Don't put it off. We're not promised tomorrow. And so with that, I'll go ahead and pray. Father, we thank you for your word tonight.